بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وطبيبنا ومولانا محمد عبد الله ورسوله. Respected Imam Muaddin, respected Ulama, respected elders and brothers in Islam. When I came in, then Qari Sahib mentioned to me that the clock is a bit slow at the back, in the front of me. It's the clock here. In some masajis we go, they put the clock 5 minutes fast for the imam in front. So in case he goes a bit over time. But inshallah we won't go over time, we will stick to time. That's a very important usul also at the time of Jumu'ah, that we stick to the time. There are people who have responsibilities, work to attend to. Nonetheless, today we have some very brief advice. There is a nikah taking place. The original topic was our report back from our recent trip to 6 countries where relief work was completed, alhamdulillah. And this is, unfortunately, within a minute I will just say that the sad plight of the ummah, the ummah is in such difficulty throughout the world, not only in Palestine but so many other countries. Let us engage in fervent dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially on the day of Jumu'ah and every other day also, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the difficulty and the suffering of the Muslim ummah. Really, we feel the pain when we hear and see daily those deaths that are occurring across the globe, where majority of the victims are Muslims. I felt it's not appropriate, I mentioned to Mufti Ibrahim Sahab, that it's not appropriate to speak on such a serious topic, considering that there is a nikah taking place. Nikah is a very, very happy occasion. And on such an occasion, we should speak something which is happy, which is pleasant, which reminds us of our responsibilities. And generally, most of us who have attended nikahs know the nikah bayans as well. We know the Quranic ayat, we know the ahadith, we've heard it so often, because alhamdulillah, we witness nikahs so often. In fact, in this masjid, I think today there are over three or four nikahs taking place in this masjid alone. So alhamdulillah, it is something, it's a great ni'mat and a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we look at other countries of the world and other societies and communities who are not Muslim, then we can see that nikah is something that is now not even existing in those countries and communities. If we look at Europe today, we see that most people have children out of wedlock, unfortunately. And throughout the world, this is the scenario, especially in Western culture, where people are not even getting into matrimony. So we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every time that we witness a nikah. But a reminder is beneficial for the Muslimin, for the mu'mineen. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And remind the mu'mineen, because there is benefit for the mu'mineen in every remembrance. So while nikah is a very topical topic, and we have heard these things many times, but every time we attend a nikah, it is a reminder to us, inshallah, that we take some benefit and we convey that benefit to others as well. Now if we look at the institution of nikah, if we look at it, whether it's logical or not logical, if we deeply study nikah, that it brings about two people who ought not to know each other in the first place, total strangers. It brings total strangers, two people together, to live their entire life thereafter. It doesn't seem logical. It's a very strange kind of relationship. But what makes it very workable and what fills it with blessings is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has put His special rahmat and mercy into the institution of nikah. If you look at our father, Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, he was residing in Jannah. In Jannah, what would a person need? It is a place where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained that no eye has seen it, no ear has heard it, and no mind has even comprehended the beauty of Jannah. It is such a beautiful place that even our human faculties of thinking, contemplation, pondering, imagination, we still cannot imagine the beauty of Jannah. That when a Jannati will enter Jannah, for 40 years, he will just look at with amazement at his palace in Jannah. For 40 years, he will stand in the same spot, looking in amazement at his abode in Jannah. So how fascinating this place Jannah is. But our father Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, despite residing in Jannah, there was something missing in his life. There was something lacking in his life. And that was human companionship. So this institution of nikah has started off in Jannah. And it is one institution that will return to Jannah again, inshallah. A husband and wife in this world can become husband and wife in Jannah as well one day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the couple who are getting married today, make them husband and wife in Jannah as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a spouse for our father, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, to give him that total tranquility that a human being desires. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Rum speaks about his various signs, different signs, his greatness, his grandeur. And among these signs, Allah says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ. And from among these signs of Allah is that He has created spouses for you of the same species, of the same jinns. Why? What's the purpose of creating spouses for us? لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. Allah has answered it. So that you may dwell in tranquility with your spouses. And that's the sum all and the object of nikah, that a person lives in total serenity, total tranquility. That's the ultimate purpose of nikah. And today's topic, how do we navigate our marriages successfully through these times that we are living in? It's a very important topic. So, the object of tranquility. A man will never be comfortable. A woman will never feel complete until they enter into a nikah, into a matrimonial relationship with each other. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and He explains, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And it is Allah who has put mawaddah, love between husband and wife, that affinity, that love between the husband and wife. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed mercy between husband and wife. It is only Allah who can do that, who does that. Two strange people who come to each other, who join up with each other in the name of Allah, in the name of the most merciful. It is Allah who puts that love between them, Allah who puts that mercy between them. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Indeed, in the sign of Allah, there is a lesson for people who ponder, people who reflect, people who contemplate, people who think. There is a great message for us in the institution of nikah. So let's go to some ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In so many ahadith, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has extolled the benefits of nikah. In one particular hadith, among many, إِذَا تَزَوَّجَ الْعَبْدُ فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ الْإِيمَانِ. That if a person gets married, he has completed half his iman. In some other ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's mentioned deen, فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ الدِّينِ, that a person has completed half his deen. فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي النِّصْفِ الْبَاقِي. Fear Allah in the remaining half. So we can understand the importance of nikah. That a person who engages, who performs nikah, then he has completed half his iman. He has completed half his deen. Then fear Allah in the remaining half. When we look at the ayat that were chosen by Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that leads me to the next points. And this is five steps, some takeaway home from here. Let us consider these five steps to bring into our lives to make our marriages a bliss of heaven on earth. Marriages are witnessed in the heavens, but they lived on earth. They are lived on earth. So let us consider these five steps. that how we can navigate in these turbulent times successful marriages. So the first point is taqwa. Taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited the khutbah of nikah, at that time he recited three ayat which contain the word taqwa. And taqwa is often mistranslated as the fear of Allah. Taqwa is not the fear of Allah. Taqwa is the ever consciousness of Allah. That wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, whether in public or in private, in night or in darkness or in light, my Allah is watching me. My Allah is aware of me. My Allah is aware of the condition of my heart, the sincerity within my heart. Allah is aware of everything. The way I treat my spouse, the way I fulfill the hukuk of my spouse, my Allah is aware of that. So that's the first step. That if we adopt this attitude in our marriages, that let us adopt taqwa, the ever consciousness of Allah in how I am fulfilling my duties to my spouse, husband or wife. The second thing is salah. Salah, as-salatu imaduddin. Salah is the foundation of the deen, it's the pillar of the deen. Once we sent a couple for counseling to the late Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel rahimahullah. And when the couple came back, I asked them, what advice did Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib give you? He said he asked us whether we're performing salah. Nothing about their marriage. The question he asked them, that are you performing your salah and how many salah are you performing? And they answered to him whatever, that they were not performing their five salah but certain salah in the day. And he mentioned to them, come back after 2 weeks, but there's one condition, that you make your five salah daily, both of you, husband and wife, and then come back to me. So we contacted Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali. Maulana, we sent a couple to you for counseling, marital counseling, and you questioning them about salah. And look at the beautiful response. He says, how often this happens, that when I advise them about salah, they never come back again with a marital problem. What does this teach us? That when salah is established in a home, then that home becomes, that house becomes a home. We can purchase the best of houses, but they cannot necessarily become homes. A home is something that is made. It's built with love, with compassion, with kindness, with service, with dedication. So if a home has salah in it, if a couple are in the habit of performing all their salah, then ultimately within that home, there will be peace. There will be serenity. There will be tranquility. There will be the tawfiq to fulfill each other's rights. That will become a happy home holistically. So the importance of salah in the life of a couple, and if they want to achieve marital happiness and bliss, then this is the root. So that's the second point. What's the third point? The third point, they seem so simple things, but they're such powerful formulas, and they will take home five issues or 5 points. The next one is Tilawatul Quran. Tilawatul Quran, we take it for granted. Many of us, we have the habit of making Tilawatul Quran in the masjid perhaps, or at work we make Tilawatul Quran. But the importance of Tilawatul Quran within our home, the sound of Quran within our homes. Our Ustad, Honorable Ustad, Qari Ayub Ishaq Sahib, Hafizahullah Ta'ala, he mentioned to us that when he was studying in Tadkeshwar in India at the Darul Uloom, he says after Salatul Fajr, when you go back, when you walk through the roads or the gullies of the little gam, if we can call it, or little town, he says, you can just hear the tilawat of the Qur'an emanating from every home. Just the sound of tilawatul Qur'an. This was the practice of our elders, that after Salatul Fajr, we will hear the recitation of the Qur'an Sharif taking place. The rest of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala has mentioned that when tilawatul Quran takes place in a home, then hudurul malaika takes place. The presence of angels takes place in the home. Wa khurujush shayateen. And shayateen, they exit. They don't only exit, but they flee from that home. It's not compatible for the shayateen. And what is the greatest achievement of shaytan? What is his greatest achievement? That he creates discord and disharmony between husband and wife. This is his ultimate object. Creating discord and disharmony between husband and wife breaks up a home, breaks up a society, breaks up a family structure, breaks up the unity of the ummah. So again, the third point, the importance of it is to recite the Holy Quran, not only in our homes, whichever place, in the masjid, in our workplaces while traveling, but the importance of reciting the Quran and Majid in our homes. The fourth note, a marriage is made with akhlaq and character. Like how the rim needs a tire to rotate. Like how a book needs to be bound by glue for it to be a book. Like how clothing needs a stitch for it to be joined together to become clothing. Marriage demands akhlaq and character. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith mentioned that the best of you, khayrukum khayrukum li ahli, the best of you are those who are best to their wives, who are best to their spouses, and I am the best from among you to my spouses. The benchmark, the best of you are those who are best to their spouses. This is the example, the prophetic example, uswatun hasana. So marriage is built on akhlaq. Marriage has its challenges, like how the Prophet ﷺ also had his challenges in marriage. There is no marriage without challenges. But through those challenges, we have to navigate. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. If a person thinks that marriages just happen and this is a perfect marriage, like how we've been trained to think happily ever after. Yes, there are perfect moments within a marriage. Perfect moments within a marriage. And that is comes about when we work hard and we build that marriage with akhlaq and character. Again, mentioning Maulana Yunus Patel rahimahullah, whenever he used to perform a nikah, he used to say, marriage is not about demanding rights. It's not about rights, my right, my right. Marriage is about fulfilling the other person's rights. The more we try to fulfill our spouse's rights, the more our spouses will fulfill our rights. And that's the essence of marriage, going out of our way to fulfill the other person's rights. Then, within this topic of akhlaq, our social etiquettes. How we behave with our spouses within our homes. How we behave with the public. And how we behave within our homes. The importance of our social etiquettes. And the fifth point and the final point, keeping to our time, is the importance of dua. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphasized the importance of dua in the life of a mu'min. The dua is the weapon of a believer. Ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah, or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, that dua is the backbone, the marrow of ibadah. It's not the essence of ibadah. It's the backbone, the marrow of ibadah. And what's the purpose of the bone marrow? What's the purpose? Without that, a person has no immunity in the human body. It's that distinguishing function of the marrow that it creates the red blood cells, creates the white blood cells, it creates the platelets for the normal and optimal functioning of the human body. So quickly to summarize, the 5 points, 5 takeaway home. Bridegroom is obviously not listening. His mind is elsewhere, but it's for us, the rest of us. Taqwa, number one. Number two, salah. Number three, tilawatul Quran within our homes. Number four, akhlaq, character, consideration, social etiquettes. And fifthly, dua. Something on a light note, it is a happy occasion. So there was a couple who were celebrating their 60th birthday anniversary, non-Muslim couple in Colorado, in this small little county, in this small little town. And the interviewer, they came into the radio station for an interview that, how have you managed to navigate through 60 years of marriage so successfully? So this is an anecdote. So the husband mentioned that we went to the Grand Canyon for our honeymoon. Newly married couple. And we were riding horses, both of us were riding horses. And as we descended a steep hill, as we descended, my wife almost stumbled and almost fell off the horse. And she managed to save herself. When this happened, then she said to the horse, "This is the first time." They proceeded further, and again the same thing happened. She almost stumbled, and she got her composure, and she said that this is the second time. And on the third occasion, she jumped on the horse, and this time she fell off the horse. Immediately she took out her revolver from her bag, and she shot the horse dead. Husband was bewildered. "Silly woman, stupid woman, what have you done? You've just killed the horse." And what was her reply? "This is the first time." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our marriages with happiness, with contentment, and Allah bless this union with every happiness and protect it from all evil, hasad, calamities, disagreements, and Allah navigate it successfully to Jannah one day, inshallah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله.